Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 megahertz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4CM 11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B 2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
If you didn't know, I am a woman of color. My snowy white skin was splattered with dirt. The sun loved me too much, so it gave me a hug. I took so many chocolate, it reflects on my skin. I am the pancake that was left on too long, but I am the gingerbread cookie that came out just right, golden brown. I am the color of the beginning of earth. Before humans step foot on the ground, I was the ground. I am the color of ash wood that you cut down to make books. I am the color of roots beneath a blooming rose. I have no place in the sky with the primary colors, but down here, I'm alive. I am the color of the darkest night, where dreams visit me before the dawn of light. I am the golden speck in the eye of every brown girl who never thought they were special until the sun hit them just right. I am the color of hot cocoa after hard days of work, making friends with sweet marshmallow and the occasional crepes donut. I am the color of an eagle's feather, an owl's freshly shaved wood. My color is the scent of muscular masculinity, of a story or myth that has not yet crossed your ears, but lives inside your heart. Just like my ancestors painted themselves with natural pigments of Mother Earth, just like the trees gives way to the leaves, never forgetting the kindness of the air, yet wallowing in its glory, so will I. I'm not part of the colors of the rainbow, but gosh darn it, both ends of the rainbow will always touch me. I am the color of life, soul, particles soon forgotten, stories, cultures. I was kissed by the sun before I was born and will return to earth to blend with nature. My body will begin a new cycle. My color will always continue to be seen. So before you ask me where I'm from, ask me where I haven't been. What other color will correspond with every shade, only to be forgotten and mistreated, only going harder, only making love with the sky and the clouds over the horizon?
The children laugh. The old ones laugh. The newborn cry, the elders weep. The knowledge of infants and elders, separated only by years. Adulthood lost to growing up fear, the only security being insecurity, changing crying to weeping. The wisdom of infants and elders, crying and laughing, weeping and laughing. Songs in the beginning, sung in the end. Endure, the people cry out. Tears of anger, tears of sorrow, flowing, giving birth to resistance. Young ones to remember. Struggle, for the people cry out. Tears of happiness, tears of joy. Washing the pain, cleaning the spirit, giving strength. The generations remembering the past to rebuild the future. For weeping is another way of laughing and resisting and outlasting the enemy.
For a day like today, bright and shining, soca glory. Everyone with a flag and a smile on their face, bloody daddy of every creed and race, blood phenomenal. Lovely atmosphere. Ooh, ooh, ooh. In the Lord is our shepherd, who shall be here?
No one.
Yes, the party start down here at CKUW 95.9 FM on your dining peg. We at 515 Portage Avenue and the 4.5 floor of Manitoba Centennial Hall in the University of Winnipeg. Come look us up or join us on the radio. This morning we have a nice little bouncing thing to start here with. We're starting off with in the Calypso section. We're going to some old-time calypsos that show where human beings interact with other animals. Stay tuned for that. We have some little clippets too that tell you about the situation in Gaza and the situation in Africa. Africa having been attacked through Nigeria with some Christian Muslim stupidness. Anyhow, here we go.
Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
Seems like he genuinely has like the heart to try and do it, but I feel like it's going to take a lot more than just one man doing the work.
As 2025 comes to a close, and despite dropping down 3 percentage points, Wab Kanu still tops Canada's year-end approval rankings amongst premiers.
I mean, I definitely think he's meeting the needs of, you know, different demographics. I mean, Manitoba is very diverse, very lots of different people, different opinions, different wants, so he's never going to meet all of them. But I think generally he's doing well.
According to a new poll by the Angus Reid Institute, Kanu has a 58% approval rating as he narrowly edges out New Brunswick's Susan Holt by 2 points. And although Kanu came out on top, Manitobans are still looking for more.
Healthcare is still pretty bad, and pretty bad is a understatement. So that's something that I wish was like prioritized.
The report also shows Canoe's approval rating has dropped 10 points since June. However, since the long-awaited Brady Road landfill search began, there has been some relief.
Well, I do like that he like kept a promise for the like the landfill thing, like the missing and murdered Indigenous women and children and girls. I do like that he like was able to keep that promise, and we were able to find the remains of, you know, our like sisters.
City News reached out to the Premier's office for a response to the poll, but we did not hear back. In Winnipeg, Kobe Mitchell, City News.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Some of our family from down south making a contribution. Zydeco style.
We'll be right back. Let me tell you a story about a boll weevil. Now, some of you may not know, but a boll weevil is an insect, and he's found mostly where cotton grows. Now, where they come from, nobody really knows. But this is the way the story goes. The farmer said to the boll weevil, "I see you're on the square." Boll weevil said to the farmer, "Say, yep, my whole darn family's here. We gotta have a home. Gotta have a home." The farmer said to the boll weevil, "Say, why'd you pick my farm?" The weevil just laughed at the farmer and said, "We ain't gonna do you much harm. We're looking for home." And the boll weevil spot him a lightning bug. He said, "Hey, I'd like to make a trade with you. 'Cause you see, if I was a lightning bug, I'd search the whole night through. Searching for home, I'd have me plenty of home." The boll weevil called the farmer and said, "You better sell your old machines, 'cause when I'm through with your cotton, you can't even buy gasoline. I'm gonna take me a home. Gotta have a home." And the boll weevil said,
"Hi, I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show."
I ain't into raising boys, send them back to their mothers. But he ain't like none of the others. Tell you about the only one that ever made me stutter. Oh yeah, I think I'm in some trouble. Tired of the way I like. Tatted on his back, a work of art is such a sight. Make me wanna spend the night. The way you pushing up is so appealing. Girl, I can't get him off my mind. I swear one look into his eyes just gets me. Try not to love him, I just wanna touch him. Hope I'm not rushing. It's just something that I can't describe. I've never met this type of guy. He turning nothing to something. I think I love him, I just wanna cuff him. Girl, you better get you one of these. Yeah, get you one of these. Wake up in the morning, he got flowers on my feet. Get one of these. Yeah, I don't wanna leave. Dance around him, got me like a puppet. I'ma let him pull my strings. Get you one of these. Count him in to get you what you want, and he gon' give you what you need. Just saying, get you one of these. Just saying, get you one of these. Around the edges in the streets with me, he's so soft. Girl, I be ready to take my clothes off. Like, really?
Are you for real?
Yeah, real talk. Checking everything on my list, y'all. Took me for a ride. Pulled up in the double R, fresh cut, fine.
I ain't lying,
he a vibe. Just talking about him got me in my feelings. Girl, I can't get him off my mind. I swear, one look into his eyes just gets me. Try not to love him, I just wanna touch him. Hope I'm not rushing. It's just something that I can't describe. I've never met this type of guy. He turning nothing to something. I think I love him, I just wanna cuff him. Girl, you better get you one of these. Yeah, get you one of these. Wake up in the morning, he got flowers in my feet. Get one of these.
Maiko.
Waiting down by the water's edge for you to come home, for you to come home. Waiting down by the water's edge for you to come home, for you to come home. Yeah, yeah. Ooh.
Lying on the bed wrapped up in a blanket, smelling your scent on the pillow, looking outside of the window, waiting for you to come home. It's more fun cooking in the kitchen when I'm cooking with you, when we're cooking for two, then we warm up the food. Two glass full, but wine bottle empty, rough up the sheets, giving you love plenty. Then we finish our cups, make up the bed, and we do it again, again and again, again and again. Tell me when you're coming home.
Mama told me never touch a man by the wallet. Keep talking. He can have a dollar, but if he ain't got a pocket. Keep walking. Check the hood and the mileage. Got a dash drive or you buy it higher. The entree or the side, just gotta. I gotta know what the vibe is, and I ain't trying to read your mind. Need a sitter, baby. Don't come here with that rhythm. 1, 2, 3, 6, and then 8. If you can't keep the bass, then you can't.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nono, and I come from all the way in South Africa. Please continue listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Oh, yeah.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceneers, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and our uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
I'm Dale Rufus, and you're listening to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9, my favorite Friday morning wake-up show.
The virus took on many shapes, the bear, the elk, the antelope, the elephant, the deer, the mineral, the iron, the copper, the colt, and the rubber, the coffee, the cotton, the sugar, the people, the people, the people. The germ traveled faster than the bullet. They harvest the mountainside, protect the crops, herd the cattle. The people, the people, the people, the people, the people. The women and children were separated from the men. They are divided us according to the regional filters of their minds. The violence of arrogance crawls into the air, nestles into the geospatial cortex. We are not a conquered people. Drum beats by region. I was raped by my elder brother. The compound was on fire. Awakened by my elder brother. The compound was on fire. missionaries never hid their perspective. Perspectives of
life. Flash a coat, get washed out. What are the kingdom out and the queen? I come out, patch a spread red carpet. One thing we have to tell on us, so watch ya. Have mercy. Have mercy. Watch me now. It name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the date me and the queen in a day park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them won't forgive me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call on me to over me, man a fight. And that now one, no time in a them life. Me no cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness, come with pay rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick. The quality, my feet come back quick. Cause murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Truffle the date me and the queen in a the park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Cho, S me no speed, me no king, me no jack.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
Black woman or a black child.
No mind your nationality. You have got the identity.
And perspicacity. Tell them.
Cause if you come from Clarendon,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
it don't matter.
And if you come from Westmoreland,
it really don't matter. Because coming to you from West Africa, in the country called Nigeria, so the brother they call Prince, soon to be King Bona, to give you news and views from about four on Africa,
no mind your
off
nationality.
Africa, all the way, all the way. Prince Ogona.
Yes, good morning, West Africa, and good morning to all of our listeners. Unukedu, Kekwana, greetings from Africa. Our first piece is from Democracy Now. We're speaking to Shana Lowe, communications advisor for the Norwegian Refugee Council. She notes that Israel is set to suspend the operating licenses of Doctors Without Borders, Oxfam, and dozens of other humanitarian aid groups in Gaza.
There is no rejection, you're an African.
This is part of Israel's continuous campaign that we've seen since October 7th to obstruct principled humanitarian actors from operating in the occupied Palestinian territory. This, we've faced obstruction after obstruction since March 2nd. Dozens of NGOs like the Norwegian Refugee Council have been essentially barred from bringing in any aid into Gaza. We haven't been able to get in a single pallet directly by NRC since in 10 months, basically. And so this is just one more step to push out principled humanitarian actors, particularly those that speak out on behalf of the people who were there to serve, call for accountability for rights violations and violations of international law. And we know what happens when international principled, experienced humanitarian agencies are sidelined. We saw that this year with the GHF, where hundreds of people, thousands of people were shot, injured, and killed seeking food for their families. This is what's going to happen as Israel continues to try and block and obstruct our response. We know that at least starting tomorrow, we will no longer be able to bring in international aid workers into Gaza. We have at any particular time around a dozen international staff supporting around 70 local staff and 200 daily workers in in Gaza who are the backbone of our response. And so while we will miss, and of course it will be a loss to not be able to have aid workers there on the international aid workers there on the ground supporting our teams remain committed to serving people not just in Gaza, but throughout the occupied Palestinian territory with or without international presence. Well, there were two issues with the Israeli registration process, and this is, I should note, a new process. Prior to this being implemented in March, organizations like NRC registered. We registered more than 15 years ago and were able to operate in perpetuity unless the Israeli authorities took some type of action. Now they've implemented new rules that require agencies to reapply for registration every 3 years, putting us under their scrutiny. And there were two major issues with this process. The first was the request for staff lists of our Palestinian staff. Now, we're dealing with one of the parties to the conflict, and not just any party to the conflict, but one in which that has killed hundreds of aid workers in Gaza over the last 2 years. So for us, it's a security concern, and it's also a legal concern, because those of us that are domiciled in the European Union or receive funding from the EU or EU member states are subject to very strict data protection laws.
Next, we speak to journalist Gideon Levy and Ram Kuri about President Trump's meeting on Monday with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu at Mar-a-Lago, where Trump supported Israel's threats to launch new attacks on Iran and want Hamas to disarm during the second stage of the U.S. brokered ceasefire agreements.
Well, the significance of the meeting is that it reconfirmed most of the fears that most people around the world have about what the U.S. and Israel are actually doing or planning in Gaza, the rest of Palestine, and the wider Middle East. There were very, very few, if any, specifics at all of the plans ahead for so-called phase two of the Trump-Netanyahu plan. Phase one has not been implemented fully. Almost every statement that Trump and Netanyahu made was either inaccurate or a deliberate lie or vague or irrelevant, or warmongering, threats, sanctions, we're going to beat the hell out of them. It was quite an extraordinary performance of two men who are known for their love of warfare and bravado, tough guy talking, and they performed almost like cartoon characters. We're going to beat the hell out of them if they don't do this, they're going to this and that, and with very, very few, if any, really no specifics whatsoever. And this is the concern that most people have, that what this tells us or suggests that this situation is a continuation of the American-Israeli drive that's been going on for some years now to reconfigure the Middle East, at least the Levant, West Asia part, into a new colonial arrangement whereby the U.S. and Israel dominate what goes on in the region. They give orders to everybody and they set the rules and they grab whatever territory they want. If they want to make a resort, if they want to make an Israeli Zionist colonial settlement, if they want to set up a military base, that they can do anything they want. It was really quite depressing, but also a very, very accurate reflection of and culmination of a century of Zionist and Israeli linkages with Western colonial powers, the British and then the Americans, in dominating this region and playing with it like they were like playing a game that was a combination of monopoly and risk, that you move people around, you buy this, you set up a hotel, you have a beach resort here, an investment there. So it was quite distressing, but an accurate reflection of where we are in the world.
Next, journalists Gideon Levy and Rama Kuri also discussed the work of acclaimed Palestinian actor and filmmaker Mohamed Bakri, who died at the age of 72 on Christmas Eve.
On a personal level, I can't tell you how much I loved him. We spent so much time together, including, by the way, in your New York, because he used to come almost every year to the Israeli Film Festival in the JCC in Manhattan. And we used to meet there from time to time. And in any place he went, and whatever he did, he was, on one hand, a cultural icon, a brave Palestinian patriot. On the other hand, another typical victim of the Zionist or Jewish or Israeli machinery, which totally crashed his life and his career. His film, Jenin Jenin, which was a heartbreaking film about a heartbreaking reality in this refugee camp of Jenin, maybe the most courageous refugee camp in the West Bank and the most devoted one, his film was an authentic expression of the pain of those people. I used to be there so many times in this refugee camp. I can tell you that what he showed was the real pain of those people. But Israel is not ready to listen to any other pain except of the Israeli pain, obviously. And we are talking about 20 years ago, which means it's not yet Netanyahu, it's not yet this fascist government, it's the legal system of Israel, which has a lot of reputation, the Supreme Court, which is supposed to be a lighthouse of liberalism, and they crashed him until they brought a situation in which his film was forbidden to be screened in Israel. Can you believe, Amy? A film about the suffer of a refugee camp based on facts was censored in Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. And this crashed him because he never recovered of it. He lost almost any chances to work in Israel as an artist, as a director. He kept on working until his last years and last months. His last film I saw was a 5 minutes film, excellent and touching. But Israel crashed him because there is no room for Palestinian patriots in Israel, and there is no room for people in his size in Israel if they are Palestinians or Israeli Arabs, as we like to call them.
Next, we go to Yinka Adejoke, Africa editor of Semaphor. He's quoted saying Trump's religious framing has more to do with U.S. culture wars and appeasing his base of evangelicals than seriously reckoning with issues of poverty and violence in Nigeria.
Nigeria has a very serious problem of insecurity that affects a wide range of Nigerians, especially those who live in the more remote parts of the country, which tend to be in the north. And the north of Nigeria is predominantly Muslim. And therefore, when these insecurity problems happen for a variety of reasons, and we can get into some of those, they tend to impact Muslims more so than Christians. But over the years, of course, Christians have also been attacked. Some churches have been attacked, just as mosques have been attacked. Because obviously churches and mosques tend to be fairly vulnerable and easy targets. But, you know, there's almost a sort of a callousness to the way President Trump referred to a Christmas present when, you know, their real lives are staked here. People have been killed. People are living really insecure lives. And it's not just because they're Christians or because they are Muslims. It's because there's a general problem of insecurity in this region, often fueled by, frankly, just poverty. Lots of young people without work to do are easily engaged in these kinds of violent acts in order to survive, frankly. But you know, the thing that is overall that is really problematic about what President Trump is doing here is that you have a country that definitely does have a problem, and in fact, maybe some of these strikes will have a short-term impact, but they don't really address the sort of underlying problems. And it feels like, the U.S. is almost exporting its own sort of culture wars about, you know, the kinds of things that evangelical Christians have pushed for a long time, about Christians being persecuted around the world, and sort of you know, projecting this onto Nigeria.
And to what extent do you think this is to appease them, Christian evangelicals, who've not only been talking about this in Nigeria, but in other places as well?
Yes.
Nigeria, what, evenly divided between Christians and Muslims, Yinka?
Yes, correct. Correct. Evenly divided between Christians and Muslims. And it really does feel like this is more so, if you use his term of Christmas present, it felt more like a Christmas present for the evangelicals, you know, parts of his constituency, that his base, as we say, right? More so than the actual Christians in Nigeria. Not something that... The people over there, listen, there are real concerns about insecurity there. So I really want us to be careful not to make it seem like, you know, Christians have not been attacked. It is of concern, but it's not like they have been targeted simply because they are Christians, which is a nuance that is important to understand.
Next, we speak with Francesca Nadine, a spokesperson for Prisoners for Palestine, which is supporting the jailed activists. Stay tuned.
Three of the four who have continued with their hunger strike have now been on hunger strike for more than 50 days. They are well into a critical stage wherein they may experience sudden or very rapid decline in their physical health and are at increasing risk of death. And that risk increases with every passing day. As a healthcare worker who's been supporting the hunger strikers, who's in regular contact with their next of kin, this is an extremely critical moment. And frankly speaking, it defies comprehension that members of the government have refused even to meet with the hunger strikers in an attempt to resolve this situation. As a healthcare worker and someone who has worked in Gaza during the course of the genocide, I'm of course invested in their demands, all of their demands, but I'm particularly concerned about their access to comprehensive and quality healthcare as the hunger strike progresses, and the extent to which the state and its various appendages respect and uphold their rights to healthcare and their rights to dignity. The situation now is beyond critical. Particularly concerning is that hunger strikers have been shackled, in one instance, cuffed wrist to wrist and shackled to a prison guard while receiving treatment in hospital. The treatment of some of the hunger strikers in hospital has been such that on more than one occasion, hunger strikers, when they have complained of severe symptoms, have said that they don't want to be transferred to hospital and that they would rather stay in prison. This is an indictment of the healthcare services that are being offered to these individuals.
Lastly, we speak to the acclaimed Indian writer Arundhati Roy on her new memoir titled Mother Mary Comes to Me. Stay tuned.
Well, when I wrote The God of Small Things, you know, I had, of course, left home and lived as a adult for many years. I put myself through architecture school, working and all that. And there was years of estrangement. She never asked why I left or what happened or anything. She didn't need to because we both knew. And I was aware that, she was still the principal of a school she founded in this small town. And for her to have a daughter leaving would have been something.
At the age of 16.
Yes, and it was a very complicated thing, the God of Small Things too, you know, coming out in that town. So I said, we settled on a lie, a good one, which I crafted. And I said, she loved me enough to let me go, which my brother's jokes was the only piece of real fiction in the book. But it was just... all my life I had to sort of manage this relationship with a woman who was amazing and also very, very dark, you know. And so, as I said, in order for her to shine her light on her students and generations of them, to challenge a law which eventually she won, and Christian women won equal inheritance rights.
Talk about that for a minute, and then we'll go into the internal, deeper, darker place. But what she was to India and to women.
So she, she came from a very small community of people who live in Kerala called the Syrian Christians. I won't say elite, but, you know, a very protected, somewhat elite, you know, landowning, more for the most part, people, very conservative, very parochial. And then she married outside of the community, my father, and then got divorced and came back. And she had no money and nowhere to go, and she was living in a little cottage outside of Kerala, which belonged to her rather cruel father, who had died by then. And her mother and brother, we were little, I was three and my brother was four, and her mother and brother came and tried to evict us by saying that according to the Travancore Christian Succession Act, women could inherit a fourth of what a son could, or 5,000 rupees, which is, you know, at that time, a little bit of money. But whichever is less, in effect, couldn't inherit. So she, she nurtured this mortification, and she waited for, she started, you know, once she came out of this poverty, she started a little school, and it became a huge success. It is a huge success. And when she had the means, she challenged the law.
All right. I don't care if your nanny was black, or you ate grits for breakfast every morning, and you knew a girl in high school, a black girl, and she was nice. I don't care if your nanny was black because Michael Griffiths is dead, killed by white youths who got her free, even though witnesses testified to their crime. So I don't care, you hear? I don't care because black woman Tawana Brawley was raped by four white cops who are still out on the street.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for listening. We just finished our section on democracy now. Right now, we have Ibrahim on the line to give us an update regarding Sudan. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning, Mr. Wana.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you two guys. I hope this one makes a little bit different.
Yeah, that's what we all hope for, a different kind of a new year. Do you have any updates regarding Sudan?
Yeah. Thank you guys asking about Sudan. The Sudan is still the war there, but the people is still suffering. And especially in the area of Darfur, of Kordofan. Yes, I call them and talk with the people back on the ground, people who are on the ground as civilian, and people who are people in the camp and people in the different area. Yeah, the people, yes, is still in the camp area. Yes, I think I mentioned them a few weeks ago in the four areas, like people in the area of Kordofan and area of capital of Kordofan, Obeid, and area of the Hoste, and also the people in the area of Tawila. And that also, the suffering is still the same, but people are still hoping for this New Year's 2026. Maybe the things, especially in the aid, will make a little bit different in order the people to have the, some kind of, the aid to help them. That's what they are hoping right now. But the people is still coming in the different areas because of the war, and especially in the area controlling with the rabid forces, because people doesn't like, and people running from them, And that is a situation, it's the same, no different. Yeah, but yeah, the, nothing, something new, but everything is still the same. But the one thing is a different, the people is still increasing every place there, especially people, what you're talking in the area of Tawila, the people still need, yeah, very important, because the people is still coming in the different direction in that place. And we hoping, and the people on the ground, they are hoping in Sudan there, they will get some kind of help. And also, if you heard the news, as in the organization of OSHA, when in the Sudan, and you heard the report, what they say, and they visit the fascist, and they say the fascist just as a ghost town, because they saw what has happened there, and they saw nobody there, but at least the older and sick people, and everything is destroyed, and these people try to cover up every commit crime, but they're not being able, and they nobody left there, and that kind of situation, people, yes, in the fascist, still there, and people need, yeah, to have the help in that kind of situation too. And also people in the area of the Kordofan, they still migrating, but all every day the people arriving for the different situation and different places in the south, and they going to the capital of Kuwait, and also they go into in the different cities like Koste, and some they reach until capital of Sudan. But yeah, that is a situation right now in Sudan, and situation is really very dire. But people, yes, they hoping, and by the, this new year is there is maybe something new will come. And even, yes, I heard some kind of the agreement between the United Nations Sudanese government in the area of the border between Tchad and Sudan, in the area, it's called every day, want to open the, that, and they being able, the United Nations can being able to deliver some kind of aid, and that kind of news people heard it. I hope that will be on the ground, and that could help the people. And that is the whole situation right now in Sudan, especially in the civilian side. And just, yeah, I hope this new year is to make sense, and people can listen, and people can be able to help them. Really, people need the basic things like clean water, food and medication and clothing. That is really very important. They like, and there is children, and there is women, and there is disabled people. But yeah, we not able, or people not able on the ground to describe what all information, but they at least if there is a chance to have the, some kind of help, that will be best. And I hope that can that message in this new year to will reach in the different places, and yeah, and that's what they are hoping. Yes, but the war is still continuous, and Sudanese, they just beyond the army, and they are for enjoy troop, and yes, and that war, yes, imposed on of them, and they are defending their country and their land and their people. Thank you. You have a nice morning.
Thank you, Ibrahim. You know, I really like your message about hope, you know, but, you know, sometimes that falls on deaf ears, you know. We were also hopeful last year, you know, that things would have changed, things would have improved.